First hymn this morning is on page 30, right out of the page 30.
Thank you. This portion of our service is for us to show our gratitude to God for all that He has done for us and will do for us. Let's go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that You are our God and that You provide for us everything that we need and even more. And we thank You that Your grace is always sufficient. And now we commemorate that grace in giving, not from a sense of compulsion, but from a sense of great gratitude. And we do this to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Before we get started, I'm going to make an announcement that we need to see. Put it on the board for you. Okay. We'll have a visitor this Thursday from London who will bring us up to date on how the rest of the world are doing spiritually. His name is Tayo Arakawe. I think that might be in the ballpark, I don't know. He is based in London and is the Director for Grace Evangelical Ministries, that's GEM, in Europe. Many years ago, he bought one of Colonel Thieme's books in the market in Gambia, read it, and rushed back to the market to see what else they had. There he got 20 tapes, which we recognized it was in a box of just for 20 tapes. And that started his quest for truth. Pastor Bruce Bumgardner may come with him. We hope you can make it here to welcome them. If not, we hope you will live stream this special occasion. So if you will mark that, and if you want to bring someone along, that would be fine as well.
He bought a book.
Do what?
He bought a book.
Yeah. Well, that's what they do there, I guess. Of course, Bracket Church, as the same as Country Bible Church, we don't charge anyone for our publications. It's grace. But he said he bought one, and I guess in India, that's okay. But I hope none of you ever hear about or see anyone selling our books, because we don't produce them in order to make money from them, but to save souls. Well, this morning is, of course, the Communion Sunday. And we are the royal family, and we are commanded to keep on doing this, observing this ritual, until I come. That would be Jesus Christ returning at the rapture. So we're just going to dive right into it here. Just about everyone in the world sees these days, those who are in the world these days are thinking about what is going to happen this year. Most people are very interested in what politicians are going to do, but few are interested in what God is going to do. It seems like everybody has somewhat foreboding and a sense that something huge is going to take place probably before the end of this year. It might be several things, but they have a sense about it, and we don't like to be in limbo. We like to know what is going to be next, and when we don't know that, a lot of people are uncomfortable, but that's the way God wants it. See, that's the way He wants it, because we trust Him, not anyone else, not anything else, and that's the way it should be. Major changes will take place before this year is over. I'm sure of that. So far, the changes we have experienced this year have been horrendous. They have made most people afraid, angry, insecure, uncertain, and confused. And that's not just in America, that's around the world. I know that things are really noticeable these days, because Satan is very busy, and his demonic hordes are doing their best to keep what is going to happen from happening. And all of this is within God's realm in the sense that He is in control of all of these things. And Satan can't do anything unless He allows it. But I can't remember a time in my life where things were so obvious and things were happening so quickly. And so that's what most people that experience the horrendous things that have happened already, they have these mental attitude sins. You would think that believers in Jesus Christ would be different. Surely they would overcome their fear and remain confident and courageous as they trust in God. Surely that's what you may think. But no, millions of them around the world behave the same way as unbelievers. You can't tell them apart. And the mental attitude sins that were on the... I'll just go back one here. See here. You'll see the mental attitude sins of being afraid and angry, insecure, uncertain, and confused, and you could add many, many more to that. In fact, when you don't find someone that have this array of mental attitude sins, is very rare. I'm just explaining to you what is pretty much obvious. We are observing the Lord's Supper today, which is all about remembering Jesus Christ. The problem is, most believers today are so biblically ignorant that they can hardly recall anything about the Bible, which has devastating consequences. And here are a few. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And that's not the only place that reference is here, are the same talking about the same thing. Isaiah 5:13, "Therefore my people go into exile for their lack of knowledge." Proverbs 19:2, "So it is not good for a person to be without knowledge." Boy, is that ever a misunderstanding. And when you see knowledge here, it's not like the knowledge you may acquire going to school or college or whatever. In fact, if you go to college in this country, you're going to learn something, but it's not what you ought to be learning. And so it's not that kind of knowledge. It is wisdom. Wisdom comes from the Bible, as we'll see as we go through these verses. Hosea 4:12. My people consult their wooden idol, and their diviner's wand informs them, for a spirit of harlotry has led them astray, and they have played the harlot, departing from their God. That is what has happened to our country. We don't necessarily have wooden idols, but there are idols, and we have certainly gone astray and turned our backs on the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22 says, for my people are foolish. They know me not. They are stupid children, and they have no understanding. They are shrewd to be evil, but to do good, they don't know how. Does that not describe most of the people in the United States of America these days? Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12 through 19. Proverbs 8, 12 through 19. Now, it says, I, wisdom. That means wisdom is being personified as if it was a person. I, wisdom, dwell with the prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. In fact, by the way, this whole chapter of Proverbs in chapter 8 is about wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Listen to that. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Do you hate evil? Well, then, if you hate evil, then that is what we, the fear of the Lord brings, is the hate of evil. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who don't hate evil. There may have been a time when they did. But as the ongoing crush of lies, deception, and evil and wickedness being front and center, over time, people lose what once they had, which was their hate for evil. And they just go along to get along. That's what's happening big time in our country as well. So the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and here's some more, pride and arrogance and the evil way. And the perverted mouth I hate. If you don't have knowledge, you probably have a perverted mouth. Verse 14. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. Verse 15. By me kings reign. Now this is in the context that there are kings who reign with regards to wisdom. But we also can use this in another context, and it says, by me, kings reign. That could be the context being that God determines who is going to reign and who is not. And there's an old proverb that is so true, and it says the people get the government they deserve. Okay, so by me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Let me say that again. A lot of people have given up on finding the Lord because they'll go to a church or they'll go somewhere and want to get a spiritual lift somehow, but that's not seeking. That's just if it doesn't cost me too much money or if it doesn't cost me time, maybe I'll go to church. But that is not diligently seeking the Lord. And in this case, the context, diligently seeking wisdom. Those who are seeking wisdom will find it if it's diligently sought. Verse 18. Riches and honor are with me. Enduring wealth and righteousness. That ought to get some people's attention. When I said the words wealth, it's like a dog's ears perking up. Well, maybe there's something in here for me, is what they think. So riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield than the choicest silver. Essentially, what this is saying is there is nothing that you can own or rent or buy that even comes close to the value of Bible doctrine in your soul. And of course, everybody thinks of gold and silver as being the most valuable thing. But it's a far cry from having doctrine in your soul and knowing the Lord and trusting the Lord and using His promises. Isaiah 3, 10 through 12. Isaiah 10 through 12 says, "Say to the righteous that it will go well with them, for they will eat the fruit of their actions." They will benefit from their righteousness. "Woe to the wicked!" with an exclamation point. That's what you know what I thought about when I read this the first time? It says, "Woe to the wicked." I thought about putting on those plaques, or those you put them over a person, and there are like a board that goes down and it's on and on the front and back. There's a word for those. Anybody?
Sandwich boards.
Sandwich boards. Yeah. I thought about putting on the sandwich boards and go walking around in the crowded place and saying, "Woe to the wicked! The time is near." Well, it's true. Woe to the wicked. It will go badly with him. For what he deserves will be done to him. He's going to get his upcomings. "Oh, my people!" exclamation point. "Their oppressors are children, and women rule over them. Oh, my people!" again. "Those who guide you lead you astray and confuse the direction of your path." And that has taken place again in our country for decades and decades. This just didn't happen overnight. Job 36:11 through 12. "If they hear and serve him, they shall end their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures." Is that how you want to spend your older years? But there's a condition here. If they hear what he has to say and serve him, then the end of their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Verse 12. "But if they do not hear, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge." Do you see the consequences of being ignorant, purposely ignorant? People don't just happen to become ignorant and not really care much about the Bible or God or anything. It doesn't somehow just jump on a person. The reason they are in this bottom part here, "but if they do not hear, they shall perish by the sword and they shall die without knowledge," is because they chose to live their life that way. They want to be independent from God. They want to do whatever they want to do. And they don't want to go to church because that's just a bunch of fuddy-duddies and, you know, that's all just a bunch of garbage anyway. Well, God says, if you want to live your life that way, He gave you free will, you can use it that way, live it that way. But you'll perish by the sword and die without knowledge. This is the time we should be very serious about learning and disseminating the gospel and the fundamentals of God's Word. Why? Because people are looking for a way to be saved from the madness that has overtaken the world. It is ubiquitous. So it is imperative that each of us make sure that we learn and use the fundamentals of Bible doctrine. And here are a few. We need to commit to memory the verses used to give the gospel. Now I'm going to give you time right now, if you're taking notes or if you're not, if you have the bulletin, write on it. These are the verses that are the heavy duty verses that you need to use when you're talking to, especially if you're talking to an unbeliever, but also with believers as well. So here they are. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, that's front and center. That's the first one I use. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 4, 5. I was going to cite each one of these, but for time's sake, I'm not going to do it. Romans 4, 5. Romans 6:23. John 3:18. John 3:36, Acts 16:34, and Galatians 2:16. One more time. These are the verses that you need to commit to memory in order to get in the battle, to be engaged, especially when you are addressing an unbeliever, or many times believers as well. Ephesians 2:8-9, Romans 3:23, Romans 4:5, Romans 6:23, John 3:18, John 3:36, Acts 16:34, and Galatians 2:16. All of those are like the ammunition that you will use, and you will point it at an unbeliever and those who are not where they should be. We must have the knowledge of how to move out of carnality when we sin back into spirituality by acknowledging our sins to God. And we need to enlighten those who don't know this recovery system from sin that God has made available to every believer. So we need to keep our... When we go into carnality when we sin, we don't just want to linger there and pile more sins on it. We want to acknowledge our sins to God, and most of you know 1 John 1:9 anyway. But don't keep that to yourself. A lot of people are out there trying to figure out, oh, I did something bad, and I'm trying to make up for it or whatever. Just explain this to them, and you'll be doing them a great favor. Now, if you don't know about these, if you look for visuals at the top of the CBC homepage, and then scroll down to the circles, that's where you're going to have an in-depth information about what we used to call rebound, and it just means to go from carnality into spirituality. We all need to be able to show others the way to get back into fellowship with God when we sin, because people may go to church their entire life and still not know what to do with their sins. So these are basic things that we need to apply to ourselves and yet impart them to others when we get a chance. We need to know what faith rest is and how to explain it to others. Now, where you want to go to find out the most information on that is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 through 10. We need to explain the difference between... I know I'm going fast, but I'm not going to go fast because we're going to have our fellowship dinner immediately after this, so you don't have to run off and get ahead of the crowd. We need to explain the difference between personal love and unconditional love. And you need to know the difference between them. It is huge. That's a big item. You need to know the difference between water baptism and real baptism. Now, if you're not familiar with these, if you go to our website, countrybiblechurch.us, and you go on the homepage, we have a place that you can a search engine, and you could put, like for instance, unconditional love in that search engine, and click it, and it will bring up everywhere in that. That we have that in there, and you can see exactly where they are. That would be with any of these things that I'm showing you here. So some people, I just have a sense that that's not being used as well as it could. It's a huge resource. So you need to know the difference between water baptism, real baptism. What are the spiritual gifts? And why are some extinct and some are not? That's important. Very important. What are dispensations? A lot of people never even heard the word. You have to explain it to them. Oh, I see what I did here. I started over here with dispensations, and I put the other part here. But then later on, I changed it, and I got it over there. So we'll just ignore that. Stations. What is the rapture? What is the tribulation? What is the second advent? What is the millennium? What is the great white throne? These are basics. These are fundamental. These aren't deep doctrines here. And we have to be able to express them and talk with people and know what these are. And that means that you have to study the Bible. You have to commit to growing. This is how you grow, is inculcating these things. And God can use you all the more when you do so. God expects us to be hungry for His Word and to commit ourselves to take it in every single day. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, this is saying that when you go to church, and it could be in a person's house, doesn't matter where you meet or anything, but God expects us to go where we can learn Bible doctrine. And He says it stirs up love with other people and good works. But there were some that were forsaking the assembly of themselves together, and we have that in spades here. I mean, I'm not talking about Country Bible Church. I'm talking about here in America, and I assume worldwide. And that's the manner of some. Some just, oh, well, I'm too busy. And once you start putting Bible doctrine in the back seat, it's a slippery slope. It gets easier and easier and easier to not think about God or growing in grace or any of those things. And before you know it, you become hostile to the Word of God. And what does this mean? And so much as you see the day approaching. Doesn't everybody here know what that means? What day is that talking about? Is that talking about Christmas? No. Easter? No. It's talking about Jesus Christ returning at the rapture. And I believe, well, I know we're getting closer every day, of course. But I see this table being set for the tribulation. And when the tribulation, before the tribulation takes place, we'll be out of here. And so it's very interesting times. Excuse me. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. You know, I didn't know, I forgot that I didn't have this on the board. I should have been showing this the whole time. So I got to the last one, and I'll show you. But the main thing is if you get those addresses. So, 2 Peter chapter 3, 18. Now look up here before we read this. I want to show you how important this is. Peter knew he was going to die very shortly. And he wrote this epistle to the people that he loved, the believers. And he got down. There's only, I think, one or two sentences after verse 18. It's right at the very end. So if you were in his place and you love your flock, and what is the best thing you could do to tell them, because you love them, and your last words should be the ones that resound in them even when you're gone. And so this is what he says. But grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. That's essentially how he ends it. And so he's saying there's nothing more important or beneficial than growing in grace and knowledge. You see, grace isn't a static thing. The more you study, the more capacity you have, the more understanding you have about God's Word and spirituality, and then it grows. You get more and more. So, that is what I have for you today. I haven't forgot that this is Communion Sunday, by the way. And that's what we're going to begin now. I have to bring up something here. Okay. Communion, the Lord's Supper, and the Eucharist are all the same thing. Those are all synonyms. So when you address that, either one of those will do. And you get where I need to be here. Okay. There are two elements in partaking of the Lord's Supper. One is bread, and one is the cup. The bread represents Jesus Christ, perfect humanity, and his sinless perfection. The bread that you will be eating today is unleavened bread. It means it doesn't have any leaven in it, and leaven is yeast. And when you put yeast in bread, it rises, but essentially what it does is ferment. And that's a good association with sin. If you can think of fermentation, it is referring to sin. And so we are honoring his perfect humanity, which means he never sinned, not even one time. Did you know that the city of Bethlehem, the Greek name of it, the Hebrew name of it, is House of Bread. That's where David was born. There's illustrations. You know, bread is what the Bible uses for what we need to be sustained. We have to have food. And Jesus Christ is the bread of life. We need bread for our physical bodies, and Jesus Christ provides the bread, the sustenance that we need in order to be saved. We also have the cup. Now, the cup represents the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. For a lot of people, if you told them this, they would be shocked or not know what we were talking about. Jesus Christ died twice on the cross. The first time he died was spiritual death. That was the penalty for his death on our death that he took on the cross, our sin. And it means he was separated from God. For the first time in all eternity was he separated. The reason he was separated because God the Father and God the Son could not help him because he was sinful. He voluntarily took on our sins in order to save us from going to the lake of fire. And so that was the first one. And of course the second one was after he said, "It is finished." Then he died physically. He died physically because his work on earth was over. And it reminds me also that the Bible also says that he was not killed by the Roman soldiers. When it was time for him to leave, he had the ability to stop breathing And on his own, he ended his life. It wasn't suicide, but he was the one that's able to do it. I don't have the verse here for it, but that's a significant thing as well, because he's not only a human, a man, he's also God as well. This sacrifice is the only thing that satisfies the justice and righteousness of God. It is the only thing that stands before us going for all eternity to the lake of fire. I would say that necessitates gratitude in the highest order. Now, anyone can eat and anyone can drink, and eating the bread and taking the cup is an illustration, a public illustration, that you have put your faith alone in Christ alone. And that's what we do when we take this. You don't have to be a member of Country Bible Church to partake of this. But we do, all of us need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which means we're going to take a moment of silent prayer for each one of us to do a little inspection in our soul to see if there's any unconfessed sins there. And if they are there, then we privately will acknowledge those to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity where we as the body of Christ come together in all in one accord, are thanking and concentrating on the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you will bring to our memory the wonderful things about Jesus Christ and his humanity. And we pray this in his name. Amen. It is our custom to keep the bread until all have been served. Was wounded for our transgressions and wounded for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripe we are healed. The night before our Lord was to be crucified, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and said, "This is my body that is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." Also, Father, now we go to the cup, and we will forever be thanking the Lord for what he did for us. We pray that you will fill our souls with gratitude and thanksgiving for this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is our custom to retain the cup until all have been served. All we like sheep have gone astray, each one to his own way. And he, God the Father, made him the Son, the iniquity of us all. On that same occasion, our Lord took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me." We will stand... We will stand and sing hymn number 258. Softly on the third verse and crescendo on the last verse. Let us stand as we sing. When I survey the Lord,
thank you.
seated. And those who are going to, I see y'all going that way. They prepare the things for us for the fellowship dinner. I always close on Sundays giving people, maybe someone here, and those who are on the internet and they're live streaming, or maybe they'll get it later on the YouTube. The thing that I'm covering here is the most grand, the most wonderful thing that I think that God had designed. And it takes care of the mental attitude sins of fear and anger and so many things that people have. In fact, we have a little flyer in our library that lists the sins. There's a lot of them there. We may have missed a couple of them, but it's, of course, the sins, verbal sins, and also the overt sins and sins of the thinking sins, you know. And so a lot of people struggle with this, and they're afraid that whenever their time comes to die, that they might go to hell, and they don't know what's going on, and they are really suffering in their soul because they don't know. Well, the thing that I'm talking about that is so great is that we call it the gospel. And the gospel is what we use in order to explain to people how they can be saved. And it's not something that you have to do. It's something that you receive. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He went to the cross. And voluntarily He went to the cross, and on that cross He died. He paid the payment that God held against us for our sins. And He paid them. And when He said it's finished, it means He had completed His mission on earth, because that's why He came to earth, was to save us from the lake of fire. He was buried and He rose from the grave, and now He offers to anyone, eternal life. And He only gives it as a gift. It's something you cannot earn. And that's what the Bible calls it. It is the gift of eternal life. And also He gives you the gift of His own righteousness. So you can't lose your salvation, because if you lost your salvation, it would mean that His righteousness really wasn't all so great after all. So how do we receive this wonderful gift? The way that we receive it is by simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross for us, and believe what He said and who He is. And the moment that you believe that, that in that moment, then you become a child of God. You become a royal family member. And you don't have to worry about heaven. Your heaven is guaranteed to you. It is your future home. In fact, for every believer, we are already here on earth. We are the ones that have the our citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven right now. And so you have everything to look forward to. That God, He who is sovereign over the whole universe, is then your Heavenly Father. And I just really have a burden for those who are looking for something. They know and they sense that there's going to be horrible things that happen. And let me put it this way. Tomorrow I'm going to a funeral in Caldwell, and I'm going to be telling them this same thing. And the first verse that scripture I'm going to give them is Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Because that's what in that verse, it tells not only that salvation is a gift, And it also says that it's not of works. So that's why I put that one first. I hope all of y'all will memorize that one for sure. One other thing, I hope that you all will be a part of our fellowship dinner. And if you didn't bring anything, we don't care. We always wind up with more food than we can eat anyway. We want to visit with you. We want to talk to you and just have a grand old time. So we are hope that you will stay. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are so awesome, so wonderful, so great. There are not enough adjectives in the English language to even come close to how wonderful you are. And we are so thankful of your grace. Your point of contact with us is grace. That's undeserved merit. And we just are hoping for the return of Jesus Christ, the rapture. We are so looking forward to that, to seeing our Lord face to face. And we are so mindful of it because the Bible instructs us to be anxiously waiting that. And we'll see all our loved ones who have died and gone to heaven. You are nothing but good to us. Even when you discipline us, it still is for our own good. And we pray that you will give us the urgency of growing in grace and knowledge now, because we need it now more than ever before. And we thank you for all of this, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.